Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, as usual, and I'm joined, as usual, by our little friend, the little hobbit, the little parrot on my shoulder, my friend Organis, our delightful little semi-Armenian doomsayer and professor of disinformationology. And we're coming live, of course, from Disinformationology HQ here in FSB Central. And last week we ended the show by talking about the UK, kind of Slava UK reign, spending over £500 million on Ukraine, more bombs, more weapons. They're kind of the engine of the conflict in Ukraine. So we thought we'd have a little bit of a closer look. We've got 11-year-old kids getting arrested on the streets of the UK. The whole thing's turning to poor working class people basically breaking up their own areas and attacking each other while the elites sit back, people like Keir Starmer. And we've got some interesting footage has emerged from some of the protests over there. This isn't exactly brand new, but it shows the kind of incompetence and the ridiculousness of the nature of protest in the UK. Run it, Augie. Watch this. This is kind of sweet. This is some pretty, let's say, slim old lady. In what is this? Is this a tank? Like, what? What is that, Uggy? What is that?
And it's an attack on police.
It's an attack on free speech. It's an attack on justice. It's an attack on just about, you name it, Keir Starmer. Slava free speech. So it's hardly unsurprising in the UK, given the police response, this two-tier policing we're hearing poor old Keir Starmer being accused of, that 73% of people who live in the UK believe there's absolutely no point in reporting a crime because nothing's going to happen anyway. And 40% of people believe that they were unhappy with the police response. Basically, right now in the UK, a pizza gets to your house quicker than the cops. And that's kind of not surprising given the choice of transport. We see the British police deploying against the most dangerous criminals in the UK. Run the video, Augie. This is the British police mounted Tour de France unit in full force against a dangerous enemy. Check this dude out. I mean, he's either one lazy motherfucker or he just doesn't want his bicycle to be stolen. This is like something out of the Keystone Cops. This is the dude with his hands in his pockets walking around the car, look, it's Inspector Morse. Who's that dude on the bike, Augie? And watch, down the street they go, and you know, he's calling backup. Augie, what does he think the backup will arrive on? A scooter, a tricycle, a skateboard? What the Well, at least the mainstream media in the UK is happy to convince everybody that when a ton of knives and stabbings and basically a horror show occurs, that that's a beautiful day out. It ain't so bad. It's generally peaceful. Augie, tell us about what Sky News considers to be a lovely family day at the park.
So Sky News is saying, in the clip we're going to run now, is that 38 arrests, mm-hmm. 4 knives confiscated, that's and one all. Person stabbed is that's nothing to worry about yeah. on your beautiful day.
Nobody machine gunned?
Just a lucky day today.
Okay, Augie, run the video.
Last hour, they've given us an update that they've made 38 arrests and recovered 4 knives. And they said a man believed to be in his 20s has been stabbed. His injuries are not
So stabbing, 4 knives,
but
38
overall,
arrests.
It's been a really peaceful and enjoyable day.
It's been a peaceful and enjoyable day. So in the UK, a carnival where 38 people are arrested, a guy is stabbed, they confiscate 4 knives, and there was actually running battles on the street. Is considered a peaceful day out. Now, that's a result when you look at the numbers and the amount of money the British cops have spent on policing in the last year alone. £27 billion. That's about $35 billion. What do they buy for all that stuff, Augie? A load of skateboards, scooters, and bicycles, judging by the fat dude chasing the arch criminal around the car. Ka-chink. And this all comes, of course, as two-tier Keir, who's kind of laying out a bit of a cozy carpet for the people counter-protesting against those protesting about immigration. We've had a huge amount of riots and discontent in working-class areas of the UK. And now, two-tier Keir has decided, the man who argued against austerity, the man who said that Britain needed to spend more on the National Health Service and everywhere else, he's now told everybody, you should prepare, this is my Keir Starmer impression, tell me what you think, you should prepare for a very painful budget. Run the video, Augie.
But I will be honest with you, there is a budget coming
There's
in
a budget
October.
Coming.
And it's going to be painful.
It's going to be
painful.
We have
no other choice.
Sounds like a serial killer.
Given the situation that we're in. Those with the broadest shoulders should bear the heavier burden.
Oh, my God. This is like someone getting tied up and, I'm about to tie you up. It's not going to be pleasant. Nobody can hear you scream in the UK. In the UK, no one can hear you scream. It's like some sort of intro for a science fiction horror movie. And don't forget, Tuatha Kiir is determined to empty jails of violent criminals, people who've broken into houses, committed acts of violence against women, in order to fill the jails with people who have made comments online about immigration. And also, remember, £500 million to Ukraine. Slava Ukraine, of course. And of course, one of the big stories this week, of course, has been the arrest, the dramatic arrest of Pavel Durov, the Russian Telegram CEO, this mastermind. Maybe it was actually his brother, don't tell the French, of the Telegram messaging network. This warrior for freedom of speech got lifted, taken off his beautiful private jet. Lots of rumors about the chick he was hanging out with at the time as well, a Mossad agent, who knows. Very interesting. Of course, Macron is eager to make a few quid after blowing all his cash on the Olympics, so he's decided to dip the pocket of poor old Pavel for about 5 million euros. But that's kind of like the money, you pick that under, from under your fingernail if you had the cash that Durov has. But what is interesting is the kind of, what would you say? Would you call it hypocrisy, Augie, when it comes to Durov, who is being nailed to the floor for not handing information about the operation of Telegram, whereas other big brands seem to have been right up to their tits in all sorts of nastiness over the last number of years, Augie? What do you think?
It just so happens, Che, that I might have compiled a list of possible future arrests that France could make if they're going to stick to this kind of judicial system. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, I and many other people should suggest to arrest Hyundai CEO for letting ISIS put machine guns on their trucks.
I can beat that. Why don't we arrest the people in charge of United Airlines for allowing their aircraft to be flown into the towers on 9/11?
Well, another arc villain, the enemy of mankind, is of course Tim Cook for making an iPhone where all this crap is being posted. Yep. Steve Jobs should be dug up too.
Yeah, and why not Vinton Cerf, Bob Kahn, for actually creating the internet in the first place? They should be brought to a modern day Nuremberg trial. And of course, as poor old Pavel chews on his baguette and his cream cheese in prison in the Bastille, poor old Mr. Zuckerberg seems to be doing pretty well out of this in the UK, in the US. And, you know, Zuckerberg has never done anything wrong except subvert, suppress, and completely twist the news for the US government. But ain't nobody coming to lock him up. He wrote a letter to the US Congress outlining how the current regime, the Biden-Harris regime, asked him and put him under pressure to subvert the news, to suppress the news, to change the news regarding COVID. I also seem to remember them being asked to make some bullshit up about Hunter Biden's laptop and Russia. Surprise, surprise. But let's not be too hard on poor old Zuckerberg. He's actually very sorry. He's very sorry for making probably $1 trillion really over the lifespan of the company and peddling all sorts of bizarre freak show bullshit on his numerous platforms. Meta owns a lot of shit. And it also tells the US government lots of things about a lot of people. And he's also very sorry about that. Not. But he has been made in some kind of freaky circus show pretend he actually gives a shit by standing up in the theater that is the US political system. Run the video, Augie.
So you didn't take any action. You didn't take any action. You didn't fire anybody. You haven't compensated a single victim. Let me ask you this.
The US Congress didn't take any action either, except making him stand up in this freak show.
Would you like to do so now?
Well,
they're here. You're
would you
on
like to do
television.
So now?
Would you like
Not
now
really.
To apologize to the victims who have been harmed by your product? Show them the pictures.
Would I like to apologize to the victims?
Would you like to apologize for what you've
Not
done
so much.
To these good people?
Yeah, yeah. But I'll stand up and I'll do this with my head. Sorry about that. Bullshit. And when it comes to Zuckerberg and Congress, one of the freakiest things I've ever seen happen there is somebody who's actually drenched in blood, who probably sleeps in a coffin and is hooked up to the blood of young gentlemen and other fluids, probably, is a man called Lindsey Graham, one of the most bloodthirsty, war-hungry freaks that ever stood on two fucking legs. He actually accused poor old lizard boy, or sorry, Zuckerberg, of having blood on his hands. This is insane. Run the video, Augie.
Mr. Zuckerberg. You and the companies before us, I know you don't mean it to be so, but you have blood on your hands.
Yep.
You have a product.
Woo! You got a product.
You have a product that's killing people.
And he got a product where I find young guys to bang.
When we had cigarettes killing people, we did some about it, maybe not enough. You're going to talk about guns? We have the ATF. Nothing here. There's not a damn thing anybody can do about it. You can't be sued.
This is a guy who's actively cheering the killing of Russians in Ukraine, who's actively fomenting and fueling the ongoing conflict there. What a hypocritical piece of shit. And of course, good old Lindsey Nosferatu Graham, he kind of defines this war-hungry American elite. They'll never fight in a war. Their kids will never fight in a war. Nobody in their extended family will. And if the ultimate war begins, those dudes will find themselves very deep down inside a mountain eating canned food while you and the rest of us fry. Now, something that came to mind this week was very interesting. Augie dug up this kind of story about good old Hillary Clinton, the woman that celebrated when poor old Muammar Gaddafi, one of the most innovative and forward-thinking African leaders in history, was killed.
We saw he died.
Well, it turns out that Hillary didn't speak to good old Bill for 8 months after it became apparent that he had splashed out on a dress. For Monica Lewinsky, he had literally splashed down on a dress for her, but he did not have sex with that woman. I don't know about that. And what fixed the marriage in the typical sort of good old USA style? Was it a nice bunch of flowers, a trip to the lake, maybe a big sorry note? No, it was a war. It was Hillary decided to contact Bill to urge him to bomb the shit out of the civilian infrastructure of Serbia. Correct, dogs?
He did this in 24 hours.
In 24 hours. And so Bill bombs the poor old Serbs, and he gets back on the horse. Literally. But in the intervening years, U.S. military power has diminished somewhat. Not everybody's creaking at the knees when it comes to poor old Uncle Sam, particularly when it comes to his navy. The good old Houthis down in Yemen, a country that's been beset by absolute decades of colonial British and American interference, have decided to put their foot down and define a huge no-sail zone in the Red Sea. Now, shipping in the Red Sea, by the way, Augie, it's dropped by 90%, correct? And that's really putting a boot into the nuts of world trade. Uncle Sam is very angry. He was going to dispatch his fleet. He was going to fix the Houthis, the dudes in sandals with AK-47s. It was basically an oasis with missiles. Russia was a gas station with missiles, right? That was a few years back. Didn't work out. Let's have a look at some of the Houthis' handiwork when they decided to light up a Greek-registered tanker, which is, as we speak, still burning in the Red Sea. Run the video, Augie. Boom.
Allah! Akbar!
Yeah. Now, I thought that the Houthis were meant to have been brought to heel, just like the Americans said they were going to bring the Serbs to heel. Remember that? They were going to bring the Houthis to heel, too. How's that working out, Augie?
Doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. Well, it's kind of not surprising. I mean, you are what you eat, as they say. And the American military has definitely become what it's eating in private. Augie, run the video here of the hardened men, you know, the men of the U.S. Marine Corps, the Army of the United States of America, some of the toughest dudes on earth. They're really making their mission statement absolutely clear with this one. Run the video, Augie.
Who are you? Who are we? We are that platoon.
Who are you? Who are we? We are that platoon.
Ooh, yeah. And meanwhile, Russians are making candles and bonfires out of tons of American equipment in Ukraine. Now, let's face it, the Abrams is an old tank. The F-16 is a 50-year-old memory. But they're still dumping it into Ukraine, and they're making a surprisingly big pile of cash out of replacing all this junk. Somebody talked about that at the UN Security Council a year ago. Very bright, good-looking Irish guy. But anyway, the Russians are now giving reviews of torched American equipment on the front lines in Ukraine. Not exactly good for sales, boys. Not good for sales. Run the video, Augie. Петушня американская Абрам. Yeah. And they burn pretty well. And it's important to remember that more than 20 of the 31 Abrams game changers that were sent to Ukraine are now, let's say, pyrotechnically enhanced. And as we speak here tonight in Moscow, the first F-16 game changer has also turned to ashes, sadly, along with one of the pilots who was trained on it for 2 years at the cost of $6 million. You paid for it. And of course, given the crisis in American recruitment, over 70% of military-age people in the US are unfit for service. They're either too fat, too diabetic, or too mentally ill to fight a war. What would your priorities be? Well, it turns out that Admiral Rachel Levine has decided that the priority should be scrapping age limits for transgender surgery. So not only do they want to send you to war, they want to make sure that if you come back with your pieces intact, you can selectively remove them. Of course, meanwhile, in civilian land in the United States of America, the election is in full flow. And, you know, the Democrats are desperate to get younger voters to connect with them. And how would you do that? Well, let's see. Let's scope it out. Let's get a war criminal, some delusionists, some liars, some fakes, and some apologists for genocide to do a really cringy, utterly pointless video where they shake their hands up and down to a Queen song. Run the video, Augie. Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, Augie. Like, what the f*** is that? I mean, can anybody watching, wherever you watch this, can you tell me what that is about? What in the name of holy Jesus on a skateboard does it mean? Augie, what does it mean?
We have no idea. Please email us your thoughts.
Email? We don't even have an email address. Well, it's just as well that they're making shit up on TikTok. I think they want to ban TikTok, right? So this is kind of like Durov. So let's put out a video on TikTok. That's how we're going to reach everybody. Yeah, let's do that. Let's ban TikTok. Let's try to connect and get Durov to come and build his empire of communication in the States. And then let's ban Telegram. So it all makes complete sense, right? So it's unsurprising that they want to use social media, very contrived and very polished, because when you let Kamala Harris out on the street, she talks utter sh**. And she's grossly incompetent and probably the most stupid human being ever to stand as a potential candidate for United States president. Run the video, Augie.
We know our immigration system is broken, and we know what it takes to fix it.
It's fucking insane.
Comprehensive reform.
It's so freaky.
That includes, yes, strong border security and an earned pathway to citizenship.
This is spooky. This is like something out of an episode of Black Mirror. This is so controlled. It's like something, it's like the Twilight Zone. It's like the Twilight Zone. I mean, we even see this stuff in the center of disinformationology here in the basement of FSB HQ. I have to mention their name once every episode. And let's not forget, poor old Sleepy Joe, our old friend here on the Moscow Mules, used to get the numbers wrong all the time. It was just so sweet. You know, remember his stuff about, I think it was infrastructure? We're going to spend 20 million, gazillion, gazillion, billion, trillion, gazillion dollars on infrastructure. Not every week, but every year. And, you know, it turns out that Kamala is just as dumb and stupid as Sleepy Joe. She believes that 200 million Americans died from COVID. Oh, Jesus, it's kind of like the Ukrainian casualty figures, except in reverse. Run the video, Augie.
We're in the middle of a crisis caused by this pandemic that is a public health crisis. We're looking at over 220 million Americans who just in the last several months died.
We are in the midst of a public health epidemic. that has taken the lives of over 220 over million Americans.
She has no idea what she's talking about. And so, first day in American politician school, when you commit, just do it. No one's ever going to dare to ask you any questions. We lost over 200 million Americans. These are the people in charge of your country, bro. This is not good. But let's not forget, Kamala backed a $3 billion fund tackle COVID, even after the COVID pandemic was over, Augie, correct? But anyway, listen, it isn't just Kamala, it isn't just the Democrats. Good old Donald Trump has decided that if Jesus came down, now remember, he's been very eager to tell all Jews, if you vote for Kamala, you're not a good Jew. Only good Jews vote for me. But he's now saying that if Jesus came down to count the votes, listen to what I'm saying. An ex-president, probably or potentially a future president, saying that if Jesus Christ came down to count votes, what else would Jesus be doing on a Wednesday? He's got nothing to do. He's got time on his hands. He's just watching the planet destroy itself at the moment. Oh yeah, I've got Wednesday off. I'll head down and count votes in California. Run the video, Augie.
I look at California. I gave a speech. I had a crowd so big. I said, there's no way I could lose California, but automatically they mark it down if you're a Republican as a loss.
I love the way
you lose by 5 million votes. I said 5 million votes. I guarantee.
I love the hands.
If Jesus came down and was the vote counter, I would win California. Okay.
It's sweet, isn't it? I love the Don. He's great, though. He is good. He is good. I like the Don. But you kind of gotta love the Don. And I actually think that since his brush with death, or nearly getting an old Toulouse-Lautrec from the psycho on the roof, who acted alone. Of course. I think he's kind of tampered down a bit. He's become a bit more in touch with himself. He's more considerate of journalists. He would never take a journalist's water bottle when she wasn't looking and tighten the lid so she wouldn't be able to get the lid off while trying to grill him. Run the video, Augie. This is just so sweet. Check out the big Don. Look, yeah, you want to have a drink of your water? Not today, baby. Oh, that was so sweet. He's such a nice guy. And meanwhile, the pro-human rights dedicated advisor of lots of dodgy organizations, particularly when it comes to Israel, Chuck Schumer, is also seeing dead people, just like in the movie. So Sleepy Joe's not the only guy who's reaching out a hand to people who ain't there or greeting politicians who died a long time ago. Good old Chuck also sees something that we don't in his seat, in the seat of government. Run the video, Ox. Check this out. Who exactly is he talking to? He's asked somebody or something to get up out of his chair. Look, Augie, these people are in charge, bro. Unseen forces are at work. So I wonder what AI, it's very in vogue at the moment, Grok, and then there's OpenAI. You really gotta wonder what you're seeing. Is it real or is it fantasy or is it all created by a supercomputer? But when you ask a supercomputer to create images of how Americans perceive their politicians, this is what comes out. Run the video, Ox. Check it out. This is just, it's kind of scary. I think within about 3 or 4 years, it's going to be very difficult to know what is real and what is not. Not that it's possible to know what's real and what is not right now with American politics or UK politics. But of course, this week, it's all about success. Successfully, the UK is turning itself into a dystopian show, denying its voters and its citizens the right to disagree. Macron has successfully captured a very, very wealthy little fish and got himself 5 million euros. And the US has successfully convinced its voters to choose between 2 billionaires, both of whom probably don't know their arse from their elbow. And meanwhile, in Canada, on the continent, just over the border, the lovely old Canadians who know a thing or two about a thing or two, they've decided to make life a little bit easier for those people with addiction problems. How would you do it? Maybe try and get them off drugs, maybe try to educate kids a bit more about how dangerous they are? No, let's give them vending machines. Run the video, Augie. This is fucking, this is just, what is this? Is this real? Is it actually real? It is real. I'm told it's real. So, you know, what do you need? A crack pipe?
Snorting kit.
A snorting kit? What do you need? Let's have it. And of course, this is all meant to mitigate dangerous behaviors and crime on the streets. All very bizarre, very bizarre. Ka-ching, no problem. And of course, this, Augie, is having the desired effect. It's having a massive impact on drug deaths and crime, right?
Actually, British Columbia has set a record with 2,500 toxic deaths last year. And overdose and poisoning, drug poisoning calls have surged to 42,000 in 2023, which is 25% more than the previous year.
So that'll be a no. Yeah, and guess what? Let's have a look on the streets of good old Vancouver. A very wholesome town, a very historic city, where people always looked after people. And the vending kits for drug users would be in, sore and demand and very much required, judging by this very pleasant little walkthrough of quaint old downtown Vancouver. Run the video, Augie. Yep. She's doing a Joe Biden, taking a crap, standing up.
Drug addicts everywhere.
Wow, it really is. It's kind of end of day stuff, isn't it? I mean, how can you send literally hundreds of millions of dollars to the most corrupt regime on earth and then walk around the corner into that kind of zombie vista and not actually ask yourself, why the fuck are we doing this? Why can't we fix our own problems? It's a big question for Western society in general. Well, as we say, it's been all about success, and gladly, and we're very thankful for all the success, all the positive remarks you guys are giving us about the work we're doing here in Moscow, trying to lift the lid, trying to keep asking the questions that everybody else is either too scared or too embarrassed to. And next week, we'll be back to keep moving the job forward for you guys, and we'll see you then. How's that? Yeah? Thank you.